The 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
The Huskies got a 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sasha just scores! This is it! Put it in!
I am a Uper.
They'll flip it up for Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP.
Oh, what a play by Michigan Tech!
In my heart is hit.
Steven for Misiak. Misiak wraparound attempt. Right to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! It's in the net!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much. The Joe Schott Hour is upon us. 1 minute past the hour of 10 on this Monday morning. Thank you for tuning in. We are looking forward to talking with Coach this hour and answering your questions. A lot of questions already in. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks, Dirk. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, it's always a fun weekend for Winter Carnival. Could have been more fun, obviously. We would have got a win on Friday night, but did get the big overtime win on Saturday night. Got a split on the weekend against a very good Lake State team. And there's a lot going on this weekend, Coach, as far as the games, because there's a lot of scoring in one game and then big overtime win on Saturday night in the other game. They're just, I know you guys weren't tremendously happy with some of the play on Friday night and much improvement, I think, on Saturday night.
Yeah, I thought they were competitive games. In a lot of ways, we kept trying to battle back on Friday night. A flip-flop of the two games. I thought Lake Superior was better on Saturday. We were obviously better, but shots were 42-30 us on Friday, 42-30 them on Saturday. But all in all, opportunities were very close to similar. We had a few more chances than them on Friday in the 7-3, I guess, loss. And they actually had a few more chances than us on Saturday in the 4-3 win. So, but numbers were relatively the same both ways. It's just every chance they got, every attempt they got, for the most part, went in on Friday, and that was the difference in the game.
Yeah, they did score a lot of goals, 7 against us, which is as we've talked tirelessly about, is very uncharacteristic of the way we've played defensively this year. But we did come out both games, I thought, with really good starts, and we scored the first goal both nights.
Huskies get a stick on it, so no icing. Shot all the way down. Merrick Mittens will paddle it around on the backhand. Good hustle by Helen. Right to the front for Brett Smith! Scores! What a play by Brett Smith and Helen! And the Huskies take a 1-0 lead.
That was just a beautiful forecheck there.
It was a great play. Yeah, we had the same thing in the start. I thought we came out in the first 8 minutes or so, 9 minutes. I thought we were very good on Friday night. I thought the guys were playing hard. We had good puck possession. We had good presence, and then I think it all changed when they got that first goal. The whole mood changed, and that's kind of what's been happening a little bit. We've been playing really well. Our starts have been very good as far as just systematically and tactically. Our starts have been very good, and then we go down and. You know, I think it weighs a little bit on the players. I think it weighs a little bit on the bench. We come out, we're down. It goes 1-1, then all of a sudden it's 2-1, and we've been playing well, and then we're down 2-1, and that just led to the game. It gave Lake Superior confidence, and I think it drained the confidence out of us.
1-0 Michigan Tech at that point. Again, it was Alec Bretzman's team-leading 13th goal of the season. Smith and Hallinen get the assists on that play, and it was, as you mentioned, coming back, tying it up, the Lake State Lakers.
Backhanded all the way down inside of the zone, going into the forecheck is Anderson, the defenseman, pinching up. Miura now with it. Shot scores! Oh, a weird goal for the Lakers, and they tie it up from the sideboards. They're redirected and somehow went through goaltender Jurusik.
Now, I guess it wasn't redirected, Coach, after taking a look at that on the replay.
No, it was just a goofy goal. And like I said, Ferris State, very similar. Huntsville, very similar. And we find ourselves, again, playing pretty well, and then fighting from behind, and that's happened pretty consistently. If we could just get through that that early stuff and get into, you know, get into the game a little bit more. Now we have pulled heroics out and won games in the third period and stole games. But it's unfortunate to go down when we're playing well to fall behind early. And for that reason, we made a goalie change and things like that, just to try to, just send a little message to, okay, fellas, we got to, let's get things back together. Let's not let this thing slip away from us early.
That was Brendan McKay's first of the season there for the Lake State Lakers, tying it up 1-1. This is the goal that I'd like you to we'll listen to first, obviously, and then have Coach talk about what happened on this shorthanded
goal. Across the line, try to feather it down to the front of the goal, and a chance there. Back the other way. Breakaway coming down for the Lakers. Calder is in. Makes the move and scores. 2-1 Lake State. A shorthanded goal. Breakaway goal by Calder. They lead it by one.
So that was the second goal of the game for Lake State. And what happened on that one, Coach?
That one was disappointing and probably emblematic. They had a player up. It might have been Humitz. Who scored the goal?
Calder.
Calder. Okay. So, and by the way, tremendous player.
Yeah, he played
every
great.
Time I see him, he's more and more impressive. A local product. He's like getting Tanner Caro or somebody like that. He's an impact player right from Sault Ste. Marie. So went down behind the net, behind our net on the penalty kill. And I think everybody in the rink, I think, knew. I liken it to when you're coming out of the penalty box. Everybody in the rink knew a guy was coming up late, whether he went to the bench and another guy would jump in or whatever. So you have to be a little bit more aware as a team, actually a lot more aware of the situation. All the players got up in the play. We got the puck over the zone. We put it right on the goaltender. The goaltender gave it to the defenseman. The defenseman threw it up the middle to the guy who fell down behind the net, which is Calder, and he went the other way and scored. That's just that awareness. Just like when a power play is ending, you have to know that a guy's coming out of the box behind you. You have to be aware of, have on-ice awareness, have clock awareness and things like that. I think that was really, again, emblematic of where our mind went. You know, where our mind was heading in that game. And, you're in a two-game total goal series, basically, that's going to decide the winner Carnival Trophy. You don't want to have those types of mistakes that are critical, because there's even more than just the points riding on that. There's the home performance. There's the winner Carnival Trophy. There's things like that. And we weren't aware of that, and we gave up a shorthanded goal. Similar to a year ago, where I think I talked about this on the radio at some point, or maybe I didn't, but we're playing at Northern Michigan. We have the goalie out. We're down by a goal. We have guys deep in the zone. We come out of the zone, or we come out, they clear the puck with the goalie out, and we turn around, and we still have guys clearing the zone, so there's a delayed offside situation, and we flip a puck on the goalie. Mm-hmm. We have to clear the zone. We can't go in forecheck because it's offsides, and Tolvanen lays the puck down and shoots it down into our net. That's just situational awareness. How do you teach that? You just have to be in the game and in tune to those types of plays. That play was disappointing for sure.
So that made it 2-1 Lake State. They go on and make it a 3-1 score with Max Humitz's goal at the 13:59 mark in the first period. A goal in the first intermission. We're down by two after scoring that first goal. But the Huskies in this game had a real good tendency of scoring the first goal of every period, and we did just that.
Swoyer now with it, hands it off to his defensive partner, Seamus Donahue. Bliss now over for Swoyer. Swoyer coming in the right wing. Swoyer shoots! Goal! Oh, did they need that? Great shot by Colin Swoyer down the right wing off a great feed back across the way. Hit him in stride, and Michigan Tech back in this game.
Trenton Bliss with a nice pass there from the side, rink wide, over to Colin Swoyer.
Yeah, really something that we were trying to accomplish in a focus point during the week in drills and in video, and it didn't. We actually executed. It was the only time the whole weekend we tried that play, and it ended up in a goal for us, and it was fortunate.
So Colin Swoyer with his second of the season. Bliss and Donahue get the assist. Next goal came at the 58-second mark. But again, after a few minutes later, at the 7:17 mark, Ashton Calder with another great individual effort this time, able to score.
Donahue will go to the bench for a change. Rockwell hops onto the ice. Calder brings it up now. Calder trying to get around Swoyer. He beats Swoyer. Calder scores! Oh, Calder with a fantastic individual effort beats the Michigan Michigan Tech defenseman clean and scores his second goal of the game to give the Lakers their second two-goal lead.
Hey, Coach, you look at that goal and you look at Calder's other goal, two of those goals, man, you feel like maybe we never should have given those up and it would have been a different game.
Yeah, you know, again, you can't, that stuff that you can't teach, that's, you know, there's systems and there's tactics, and systems get you in a chance to do battle. Very similar to the first goal on Saturday. Everything's right. Everything's in position. It's 3-on-3 line rush. We have guys coming back, and you just get walked, beat on a 1-on-1. There's nothing you can do to rectify that. That's a tactical issue where you have to be able to play your 1-on-1, and they were able to put it in our net. Our tactic wasn't very good. Systematically, we were fine on that.
We outshot them 14-11 in the first period, 16-9 in the second period, as Muka also scored in that second period to make it a 5-2 lead for the Lakers going into the third. We score the first goal again in the third period.
Third period brought to you by the Turbo Agency. 16:42 remaining here. Huskies down by three. Getting some chances, bringing it up now is Pietola. Pietola to the front, scores! Logan Pietola with a spin-around move, able to beat Mittens, and I'm not sure if Logan was trying to pass that or shoot it, but it doesn't matter. It's in the back of the net. The Huskies back in this game.
A great individual effort there. He was trying to pass it, right, Coach?
Right. I'm sorry, I'm still battling this cough, as you are.
Yeah.
But what happened on that is very similar to the Huntsville goal a week ago. What's good about that is we have a guy driving the net, so the defenseman's trying to deck out and handle and take away the pass, and it goes off the defenseman into the net. So we're back within two goals. It's early in the period. We have a chance of coming back, and then ultimately we give up two soft ones again. Very similar plays, same individuals for the most part involved. And really nothing plays, just wrist shots from the boards. One we got beat off the far side wall, and they got to the net and got a lane and just kind of shot it to the net, and they deflected it in. And then the second one, same play, wrapped around, went around, and came out to the boards again along the wall. And they just put a wrist shot at the net, and it went off of a toe of one of our players' skates and went in the net. So, again, a whole lot of nothing that ended up in a whole lot of goals that really put us in a bind for Saturday night.
We outshoot the Lakers in every period, even the third period, by a score of by a total of 12-10. Final was 42-30. Michigan Tech outshooting the Lakers, but lose big, 7-3. Huskies 0-2 on the power play. Lake State 0-1 on the man advantage. And Matt Jerusik did start that game. You pulled him after two goals. Blake Pietola was in for the rest of the goal. So two goals against for Jerusik, five for Pietola, and a 7-3 final in favor of Lake Superior State University. We were, however, very good on faceoffs, Coach, in that game. Once again, Alex Smith was just money, 19-6. Grayson Reitmeier was solid at 11-8.
Yeah, and Alex, I thought, played a tremendous hockey game. I thought he was very good all week, and he was 19-6 on draws, 7 scoring chances, five even strength scoring chances, 1 scoring chance involved in against. That side of the ledger worked very well, and he carried that into Saturday. And I think Alex has been, in the second half of the year especially, a tremendous player. His leadership and things have been great all year long, but the points and the offense and things that he's helping us out with in the second half has been noticed and appreciated. His efforts have been appreciated, and you know, he's up to 19 points. He's going to end up with over 20 points. He'll end up with probably a career year for him. So we're happy with what he's given us. He's done. He's certainly done his part in trying to get this team on a consistent, a high level of play so that we can compete in the playoffs, which is what our ultimate goal is.
We are a force.
A tax-slaying force.
We march forward with a trusted family-owned company at our backs.
With the right tools at the right price, right at our fingertips.
We start free and get our biggest refund possible.
Guaranteed.
For most of the year, we're everyday people.
But right now, we're all tax slayers.
And taxes don't stand a chance. Tax Slayer. It's your refund. Go get it.
36 days. That's how long it takes the average company to find their next hire. Glassdoor can help you quickly find the right job candidate in half the resumes. From 62 million job seekers, Glassdoor only matches you with qualified candidates who have the skills and experience your small business needs to grow. And Glassdoor hires are committed. They're 30% more likely to stay with your business longer. Go to glassdoor.com/hire. Glassdoor. Find the right fit for your business.
Check out these great deals all month at Bucco's in Calumet. Red Baron Pizzas, 3 for only $11. All 6 packs of 12-ounce canned beer on sale. All 2 liters, 2 for $3. All Canada Dry, 8 packs. Flavored seltzer waters, 2 for $5. Along with all kinds of energy drink bargains. Stay warm with Keweenaw Alpaca gear in the clothing department. With fishing coming up, they have the new fishing licenses and DNR and ORV licenses, plus some snowmobile needs. All sales do not include tax and deposit at Bucco's in Calumet.
Right now, I'm holding a perfectly ice-cold Coors Light. You know how I know it's the perfect temperature? Because the mountain on the can is blue. And also, it's really cold. Every Coors Light is cold-filtered, cold-lagered, and cold-packaged. Notice how many times I said cold? 3 times. It's that cold. So make sure the mountain on your can of Coors Light is blue. Because that means it's ready to enjoy. 2019 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turvo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
All right, back to the questions. We're trying to get through as many of these as we possibly can. Next question for Coach is actually for you or me, Coach. Do we know what the 100-year jerseys are going to look like next year? And will there be any fan base input on those jerseys?
I've seen some renditions of some thoughts. I don't know. I don't make the decision on that, but I've seen some renditions. They're pretty cool. They're throwback type of things that they're talking about right now, but I don't know if they're going to open up options and say, do you like this one better or what would you like to see?
Next one, with 2 weeks playing for Michigan Tech, do you see us being able to catch Alaska for home ice in the first round of the playoffs?
Probably more concerned with Bowling Green.
I agree.
Bowling,
2 more games.
Yeah, right? Bowling Green and Northern both have 2 games in hand on us. Alaska doesn't. Alaska's or Bowling Green schedule for sure favors them in a big way. They have Huntsville for a couple, and I think Lake State. I believe they may go to Lake State, but I'm not positive on that for the other two, or Lake State goes to them or something like that.
Next question. It seems like our defense don't pinch much. Is that an individual approach or an overall team concept?
It's not a team concept. We'll just leave it at that.
But I see. I mean, I watch all the games. I think we pinch a lot, but maybe
yeah,
maybe.
but I understand. These are all great questions, and a lot of these are frustration questions, which to me is really good because it shows that there's passion. People care, and I think that that's awesome, and they see us as I feel us being close, right? We're close. We're close. We're just some pieces away, but we're close. But I look at it, that question, in a way of, plus we have really loose gaps. And let's look at the first goal on Saturday night. We're playing extremely well. We gave up 1 scoring chance in the first period Saturday night. 14 shots, 1 scoring chance. So they're throwing things at the net, trying to get the lead because we don't have the ability to come back that well. It shows as a whole, we struggle more when we were playing from behind. We have stole some games. I don't want to go too long because there's a lot of questions. But Saturday, we're backed way off on the guys. They come across the zone. They're changing. They have 1 guy against 4, and we're backed off on them. Trust me, we do 1-on-1, 2-on-2. Now it comes into the accountability thing, and how do we change that? You change it, and the best way you can change it is by people within the group holding them accountable or replacing them in the lineup. And we have to have guys that can go in and give us the whole package, not just go in and play that situation better, but go in and play that situation plus do the other things that person does well for us.
All right, next where am I here? Next question for Coach. Are you currently recruiting compete level over skill?
Hard skill is the best answer I can say. I've told our coaches, just like I said on here, soft players don't manage well. I don't manage well with them because I think it's too hard to win. You see, hardness wins, in my opinion.
Next question, Coach. In your first 20 games of the season, you gave up 6 goals on the rush. In the last 13, we've given up 18 on the rush. Can you explain that at all?
Oh, geez. Interesting concept. I can't argue that that's not accurate. I don't know. But I do say, again, it comes down to our gapping, and we're with guys. It comes down to the individual tactics. We're with guys, and they aren't picking. We can stand right with a guy and be in the right spot and not do the job, and we have a degree of that. That's the best answer I have.
Next question, Coach. What, in your wisdom, does it take to have the men truly buy in?
Well, inner accountability nowadays is the best within the group. You have to have your leaders be an example of you, of what your overall approach is. And if they challenge that approach, they need to come to you. You need to talk about it, which our guys haven't done. Our leadership, I think, has been extremely good, with the exception of trying to find ways to help force others to a standard. People don't want to offend people anymore. It's more important. Your status within the group nowadays is more important than offending someone. No one stands up in the locker room and challenges people anymore. No one goes one-on-one like the old Mark Messier story, waits till he gets in the plane when he's playing for the Rangers, gets to 30,000 feet, grabs a guy by the throat, and I'm not saying to do this now, grabs a guy by the throat and says, "You ever do that again and put the team before, or put yourself before the team like that again, I will personally throw you out from 30,000 feet." That stuff, those leaders, it's more about the group. Don't offend people. Make everybody feel good. It's up to the coaches to do that. So you have to, as best you can, find the most competitive, skilled guys you can. The Duluths, St. Cloud, they've been able to recruit good, hard skill that wins games on a consistent level.
Coach, we're done. Good luck down in Big Rapids. And thanks for all the questions, everybody.